on Tuesday of this past week, and Wednesday I was in a meeting with the overseers, and of course that the things that we do kind of brought me into some of the subjects that we had to discuss and work with, brought me to when I came home to knowing that I had was scheduled to bring the sermon this morning, and so it affected me in subjects, trying to figure out which subject I want to go on, because we had some concerns of the alliance, and we were encouraged to encourage our pastors to speak on certain subjects, and one of the subjects was the authority of the church. And so that's going to be my subject, and I have a lot of information that I wanted to give concerning some things that are going on in the alliance, and that we spent a number of hours discussing some of that, and at some point in time, I'm going to request a time. It would not be spiritual, so I was going to do it this morning, but I decided to forego that because it's a non-spiritual information, and I don't feel it would be edifying, much of a blessing to you if I would dump on you this morning on what we worked through on Tuesday and Wednesday. Those are hard. Those are difficult days for us, because we are responsible kind of as a watchman for the alliance. The boards have made changes. The executive board made a bunch of changes, which you will see in time. You as a congregation probably, and lay people probably are not faced with these things as your leaders are. I will say this, that your pastor was reaffirmed for another term on the Missions Training Center, so you can, he's not going to tell you that, but I will. So, but it is a difficult time, really, and of course the things that are going around is we were short four of our members because of the virus, and let's see, I think there was one or two that have the virus. One or so was exposed. One was having surgery. So it was just a kind of a, we were short on men, which is, it's just the way it is. And traveling is very complicated from what it used to be. I'm at the point where I don't even want to travel. I don't want to go out to eat. I mean, it's just ridiculous what we're faced with. But in the context of that thought, I would like to speak briefly then, as time is moving, to the authority of the church. And I would ask the question, does the church have authority in your life? I came home and began to research on that. And I know that in my past, that has been something that was never questioned on me. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever found yourself questioning that or not, the church having authority. And you look around, you can tell that there are those who would say that the church does not boss them around. That's just it. They're not going to be, you don't tell me what to do. Well, that's up to you. I'm not going to dictate to you what that means. My text will be Matthew 16, 13 through 19. And actually, I spoke this same text May the 6th, 2012. Now, if I would ask you, do you remember that? No, I won't do that. That would be rather foolish. So I won't do that, because that is about 8 years, I think. And as I thought through that, I thought, well, that's not long. If you would have asked me, how long has it been since you spoke on that, I would have said, just not long ago. But that's how we are. In fact, that conversation went around the table this past week. Certain subjects that we talked about and that we find a strong weakness in the alliance. Probably, if you would remember, you may not, but I'll help you a bit. When you filled out the AOUs, Assessment of Unity, it's called, it's a tool. It's not a dictator. It's a tool to help us and your pastors to see what temperature we are, whether we're drifting or whether we're not drifting, or whether we're in the same place we were 5 years ago as a church, or whether we have moved. Well, obviously, not just we, but the alliance has moved considerably. And we found that on items 6, 7, and 8, and if you want to check that out, what those are, I'm not going to bother you with the information of that, but those are the three items that we found are very difficult and are complicated in our alliance today. People are changing their thinking. They're thinking differently than they did. And the same thing applies to the authority of the church. I think we find that there is this authority thing has become more of a problem with us. I don't like authority. I really don't. When I use the word, I chafe about it. I would rather talk about blessings. Thank you, Aaron, for starting us off. I like that. The Beatitudes, beautiful. Blessing. I would much rather talk about, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, if you take that in itself and you enlarge on it, how about Jesse and Mildred? Have they seen God by chance? Are they blessed? How about you? Have you been in that arena? Have you seen God? Well, I have. Well, not like I see you. But we see God in work, in our lives. So in the authority of the church, I need to read my text. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. I wonder why they said that. I'll talk about it later. Some say that you're Elias, and others think you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a statement. And Jesus said, answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it to you, but the Father, my Father, which is in heaven. And I say to you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you should thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, there was a time when that became a very dominant doctrine in the church. Now, there's this phenomenal idea around today that rules they're just not in place. We don't need rules. We just now we've gone a little bit further than out of the church, and we have said, what is it called? Defund police. We want to defund our law and order. Interesting. Are we perhaps looking at a time in history and in life when Jesus is looking and saying, it's getting real close? Now, I said here to Peter, let me go back here. It says, well, who do you say? Who do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I am? Or I the Son of Man am? Now, think with me just briefly. Did he raise the question for any particular reason? Did he perhaps want to know something? Commentators would say that he didn't really care about the scribes and Pharisees because he didn't care about what they thought, because they already had made a declaration of who they thought he was. It was false. He was not the Christ. He was not God. We're going to have to kill him because he said that he's God. You have to get rid of him. That was the stance where they were at. So they decided, but then he looks at a group of people. Now I would like to characterize that group like us. Common folk. Folks that are everyday common people. Go to work, live in their means, etc. He said to them, who do you say that I am? How do you? I would ask that question to you. Do you ever stop to think who Jesus really is? Have you ever really contemplated that he's God? He's the Savior. How personal do you make that? I guess it's because I'm right in the same trail that Susie thinks she's really something, not because she's 80. Because that's okay, Susie. I'm coming after it. I'm right behind you. I'll be there soon. All right? Not far. Lord willing. Excuse me. Lord willing. Some people say if the creeks don't dry up, but that don't work. It's got to be Lord willing. I'm in his plan, okay? I realize the days. My son gets up this morning and says, pulls me out of retirement. What in the world is that? Pulls me out of retirement. Who does he think he is? Well, he's my son, and he's the pastor, so he guess he can do what he wants. Who do you say that I am? Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against. Folks, we're living in a very difficult time in history. Someone said 100 more days. That was 10 days ago, so it's 90 days now. 90 more days, and this virus is going to go away. That's what they're saying. I'm sort of inclined to think that myself. No more masks, no. We may have other problems, but those will be different. Gates of hell. Now, Hebrew translation tells us that it's the abode of the dead. In other words, there's one place where it says the grave cannot hold us when Jesus comes. Now, I don't know. That's a good thought. But what about the ones that are in the little jug, in a jar? Or what about the ones that defecate? Obviously, that has no relevance to our bodies. But it talks about the grave or the rock or the tomb cannot hold Jesus. Remember, he didn't stay there. You know, I'm just thankful this morning. I'm so grateful that Jesus Christ did not remain in the tomb. So he tells them in plain English, the tomb will not hold me. It will not do it. And he did. He came out. Now, does the church have authority? Matthew 18. I will not take the time to take you there, but I would encourage you to study it. I believe there is some truth to a church holding some accountability to my life. I think so. I think that I have a responsibility to the church. If I would read Matthew 18, I would find instructions how to build that he's talking about. Now he said, you hold the keys. And one commentator says this, every disciple had a key. Now, do you have a key? Question, do you have a key? I think I have one. Do you hold a key? Not that one. That one won't do. That won't work. But there is a key. The church needs to be a community. John 17, I'll close with this. God's desire for the church is, Jesus said he would ask and he prayed. John 17 is the prayer that Jesus gave when he prayed. That's the real prayer. A lot of times we refer to the Lord's Prayer, which is not the Lord's Prayer. It is an example of prayer. It wasn't his prayer. They said, teach us to pray. And so he said, well, when you pray, you say this. Now, John 17 was not that. John 17 was differently. And he prayed things like, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Those kind of things. He spoke to them that in his prayer, he said to God the Father, I would that we would all be one. I would for you and I to be one with them as they are one. Now, try to separate the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is saying, I would want you that hold the key to be one as we are one. How close is that? That is complete unity. Complete unity. There are no divisions. There are no better than thou, complete. I have to stop. You have a song? 177. If you'll stand, we'll close with prayer. God, we pause to say thank you that you're God. We appreciate your presence through Jesus Christ, the Savior. We appreciate the Holy Spirit. We're so grateful and glad for your blessing to us. We've been reminded of blessing today. And it reminds us of those Beatitudes, how blessed we are. Now, we want to ask you a special favor in that blessing. And we're thinking of Jesse and Mildred. They probably don't feel blessed, but God, we know you're there. We know you've cared for them. You've cared for Ansley. We know that you've taken care of things that we cannot do. But through that Do not let this church forget, as we have reached out, and we will continue to do so, and I pray that this church will never let down their guard, allow the enemy to interfere. This family needs this church in a way it's never been needed before. For Cheryl and Dawson, difficult time in their life. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, things have changed. Brokenness in the limbs have come in. Again, there's a need. For Phyllis, there's a need. May this church never forget that they hold the key to help and unlock encouragement, good, to walk beside these people, those ones that we love, that we care about, that are one with us. As we're one, Jesus prayed that we would continue, that we would be one. Let us never forget that, God. Let us never forget that your Jesus is the Savior, is the Christ, the Son of God. Empower this church to be as it should be. And empower all of us to do the right thing, to walk with those who are less fortunate in health, sickness, accidents. And as others have prayed, I pray too that Ansley will open her eyes and realize where she's at and be able to communicate with Mom and Dad, brother and sister, in a way that seems normal. Thank you for caring. Thank you for being there in all of the needs that are in front of us. Thank you for providing and caring. Keep us in your ways, your will, instruct us in the life that we should live. Make our lives fruitful for yourself, to honor you, to bless and be a blessing. Care for us in the needs that we have. All this we would ask and say in Jesus' name. Amen.